This is Film Bookcast.
Film Bookcast.
Film Bookcast. The official podcast of Film Book. Get ready for the latest in film news, TV show news, and theatrical reviews. Film Book's podcast starts now.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Film Bookcast, the official podcast of Film Book. My name is Chris Banks. If you're tuning in for the first time, what I do on this episode is discuss the latest film and TV show news. I also review an in-theater film. You can find more about Film Bookcast on film-book.com by using the search term Film Bookcast. You can also email us at podcast@film-book.com with Film Bookcast in the subject line. Let's jump right into it this week. Let's check out some TV news for this week. Justice Leake is set for a key recurring role opposite Michael Stolberg in The Staircase, HBO Max's limited series drama adaptation based on Jean Xavier's De La Strada's true crime docuseries. Leake will play Tom Mayer, David Rudolph's down-to-earth co-counsel. In addition to Stolberg, he joins previously announced cast members Colin Firth, Toni Collette, Rosemary DeWitt, Juliette Binoche, and Sophie Turner. The 8-episode limited series is based on the docuseries and various books on the reports of the case of Michael Peterson, who was convicted in 2003 of murdering Kathleen 2 years earlier. The Staircase is written and executive produced by Campos and Cohen, who also serve as showrunners. In some more TV news, Neil Patrick Harris is set to star in Darren Star's upcoming Netflix series Uncoupled. He'll play a newly single mid-40s gay man in New York City. The show Uncoupled follows Michael, played by Harris, who thought his life was perfect until his husband blindsided him by walking out the door after 17 years. Overnight, Michael has to confront two nightmares, losing what he thought was his soulmate and suddenly finding himself a single gay man in the middle of his 40s in New York City. Starr's creator and executive producer of the series, alongside Modern Family's Jeffrey Richman. Rounding out the week in TV news comes from HBO Max. Some casting news is Atypical star Keir Gilchrist, Elizabeth Marvel from Homeland, and Tom Pelfrey from Ozark are set to play series regulars alongside Elizabeth Olsen, Jesse Plemons, Patrick Fugit, and Lily Rabe in HBO Max's Love and Death, a limited series about the true story of a Texas housewife, Candy Montgomery's murder of Betty Gore in 1980. Written by Kelly and directed by Homeland's Leslie Glader, Love and Death is inspired by the book Evidence of Love, a true story of passion and death in the suburbs, and a collection of articles from Texas Monthly. The series revolves around two church-going couples enjoying small-town family life in Wiley until somebody picks up an axe. The couples are Candy, played by Olsen, Pat Montgomery, played by Fugit, and Betty, played by Rabe, and Alan Gore, played by Plemons. That's it for this week in TV news.
Now let's head on over to some TV trailers for this week. A new series coming in October from executive producer Danny Strong and starring Michael Keaton is a TV show called Dope Sick. It examines how one company triggered the worst drug epidemic in American history. It's about the makers of OxyContin, and the series looks extremely good. It's chock full, the cast is chock full, and check out the trailer for Dope Sick. It'll debut October 13th on Hulu. Another TV trailer that debuted this week is a Season 4 teaser trailer of Stranger Things Season 4. Everything's been building up for this season, and the kids are in for something big because this season looks insane. Check out the Season 4 teaser trailer for Stranger Things. It'll debut on Netflix in 2022. The last TV trailer that caught my eye this week comes from FX, and it's called Why the Last Man. It starts streaming September 13th. It's based on the DC Comics Acclaim series by Brian K. Vaughan and P. Aguirre. Why the Last Man is based in a post-apocalyptic world in which a cataclysmic event decimates every mammal in the Y chromosome, but for one cisgender man and his pet monkey. The series follows the survivors in this new world as they struggle with their efforts to restore what was lost and the opportunity to build something better. Check out the trailer for Why the Last Man. It'll debut on FX September 13th. That's it for TV trailers.
Now let's switch up gears and head on over to some film news. Clint Eastwood is back on a horse at 91, and he's also going to direct Cry Macho, an upcoming film. Clint Eastwood treads where many men have tried but failed. The neo-Western book is based on a book by N. Richard Nash from 1975. Director and star Clint Eastwood is finally taking the reins with his film set to release on September 17th in theaters and simultaneously on HBO Max. He plays a decorated one-time rodeo star who, after losing his wife and child, spirals into alcoholic despair. In the late 1970s, he's forced to take a job from a former boss to bring that man's young son home and away from his alcoholic parent, resulting in a treacherous journey from Mexico back to Texas. It's about a man who's been through some hard times in his life, and then unexpectedly another challenge is brought to the foreground, Eastwood said. He would normally never do it, but he's a man of his word. He follows through, and it starts his life all over again. This is Eastwood's first film since directing 2019's Richard Jewell, which he didn't star in. Eastwood was attached to Cry Macho as early as 1988, but he instead opted to reprise his role as Dirty Harry in The Deadpool. Some more film news this week. Lionsgate film boss says The Hunger Games prequels is about to start production in the first half of 2022. The update came from Lionsgate Motion Picture Group chairman Joe Drake during the company's quarterly earnings call with Wall Street analysts. The tentpole film is targeted for release in either late fiscal year 2023 or 2024. Hunger Games yielded nearly $3 billion in global box office across four previous films. There's an audience that wants it to come back to theaters, Drake affirmed. I believe the market's going to come back. There's going to be a strong, robust platform for us to monetize our movies. The prequel movie will focus on Snow at age 18, years before he would become a tyrannical president of Paynim. He's handsome and charming, and though the Snow family has fallen on hard times, he sees a chance for a change of his fortunes when he is chosen to be the mentor of the 10th Hunger Games, only to have his elation dashed when he is assigned to mentor the girl tribute in impoverished District 12. Some more film news from this week is some hopeful news as Warner Brothers fired up James Gunn's Suicide Squad on Thursday, the studio's first Thursday preview in a long time, arguably since pre-pandemic. The DC Ensemble reported $4.1 million off of showtimes that began at 7 p.m. on Thursday, the biggest number for an R-rated movie in the COVID era. There haven't been many R-rated movies during the pandemics, previously with Demon Slayer only averaging $3.8 million and The Forever Purge averaging $1.3. The Suicide Squad is a hair above Birds of Prey, which did $4 million on its Thursday preview before the pandemic. The Suicide Squad is playing in both theaters and in homes, so the high box office total from Thursday is extremely hopeful for theaters' recovery. Now let's switch up gears and head on over to some movie trailers for this week. Before Jungle Cruise was a trailer for The Protégé. Have you guys seen this trailer? It's by Martin Campbell. What's crazy about this movie is I did not know it existed until the trailer. It stars Maggie Q, Samuel L. Jackson, Michael Keaton, among many, many others. It's about Anna, who was rescued as a child by the legendary assassin Moody. She's a world-skilled contract killer. However, when Moody is brutally killed, she vows for revenge for the man who taught her everything she knows. As Anna becomes entangled with an enigmatic killer, their confrontation turns deadly, and the loose ends of a life spent killing weave themselves ever together. Check out the trailer for The Protégé. It looks really cool. Good to see Michael Keaton back in this capacity. It'll come out August 20th. Check out the trailer for The Protégé. Another trailer that debuted this week, and I talked about it in the news section. Clint Eastwood is back behind and in front of the camera in Cry Macho. The trailer for the film is really beautiful, and I urge everyone to see the trailer for Cry Macho, because Clint is back not only as a cowboy, not only as a tough guy, but it's very touching what the film is telling a story of, and I think it's going to be a really important movie. And this may be his last film, and I think it's such a beautiful way to see Clint Eastwood again. Check out the trailer for Cry Macho. It'll debut September 17th. Another trailer that popped on before Jungle Cruise was Free Guy. It's coming out August 13th. It's directed by Sean Levy. It stars Ryan Reynolds, and I'm sure you've heard of this film. It's almost like a video game come to life. It looks pretty cool. Check out the trailer for Free Guy. It'll debut August 13th. That's it for movie trailers for this week. All right. Time for this week's movie review. For this week's movie review, we're talking about Jungle Cruise, directed by Guame Cole Serra. It's by Disney Pictures. It's actually based on the ride Jungle Cruise. It's about Dr. Dilly Hooten, who enlists the aid of a wisecracking skipper, Frank Wolf, to take her down the Amazon in his ramshackle boat. Together, they search for an ancient tree that holds the power to heal, a discovery that'll change the future of medicine forever. As you know, The Rock is in this, Emily Blunt, Jack Whitehall. Jack Whitehall plays Emily's good friend, and it's really cool, the character that Jack plays. His name is McGregor, and he serves as a great comedic relief throughout the film. It's also a great character to laugh at something that really hasn't been laughed at in storytelling in American cinema, really, from ever, you know, which is just the intricacies of being European. You know, it's really funny how I can relate to McGregor's relation to the sun, and the way he travels is hilarious. And it just makes fun of good parts of European culture in a way that just I haven't really seen in American storytelling before. So that was really refreshing. Jesse Plemons plays Prince Joachim, who's a German. He's a bad guy. Edgar Ramirez plays Aguirre, who is a conquistador. Paul Giamatti's in this, and he plays a French businessman, Nilo, which his character is really funny throughout the film. And you know what this film is when you go in for it. You know that it's going to be a fun ride, you know, because the ride at Disney is fun. And I really like how they carved out the story from a ride at Disney World, you know, because Dr. Lily is on this quest, and Emily's amazing, you know, she does an amazing job, but it's actually a really fun adventure that you go on, and the way they incorporate, the way the ride is really funny, the way they incorporate tourists within the story is really funny, but it's also a really good story. It's easy to follow, so it's both good for kids, and it's good for someone like me. What I didn't expect, however, was the chemistry between The Rock and Emily Blunt to be as good as it is. The Rock plays a skipper called, his name is Frank, and we find out in the movie that Frank is actually a very old, old man who's been trapped in the jungle for 400 years. And I won't give away the actual plot line, but it's really cool how they did this. And it's also really cool to see the chemistry between The Rock and Emily Blunt. Because I was not expecting that, but there's really good chemistry between those two, and you kind of wish that you saw The Rock in more romantic scenes, because the chemistry that they built was really touching, and it really brings tears to your eyes, certain scenes within the film. But the storyline about why these people are trapped, why The Rock's character is trapped within the jungle, is really cool. I like how Disney is in a position to really lead the future of North American storytelling, because they're doing it in a way that incorporates all of North America, you know, not just the European immigrant story, but incorporating Central American, South American, Mexican history, Spanish history, just general North American history within this film was really satisfying and surprised me as someone who both likes history and likes to see it presented in a modern container for people to better understand their today. You know, and Emily Blunt's character, it's hard to not be reminded of Pirates of the Caribbean, the first one. It's hard not to see similarities between Lily and Jack Sparrow. But that's also why I went to go see the film. You know, I love Pirates of the Caribbean, and I loved Jungle Cruise. There's elements that remind you of pirates. There's elements that are completely different. There's elements that are newer. You know, Jack Whitehall's character, McGregor, is really a new kind of character where we're able to laugh at what was traditionally not really funny, you know, and and that's a good thing for American audiences. That means that we're growing and we're able to laugh at ourselves and see ourselves in different light. The storytelling of Jungle Cruise allows you to see that with certain characters, because we get to learn about certain characters. We get to learn about a little bit of history within this film, which is really cool. Paul Giamatti's character is like a French businessman, and he's hilarious. And everybody does an amazing job in this film. There's a lot of writers: John Norville, Josh Goldstein, Glenn Ficarra, and John Requaw, and they what they did, really adapting a ride into a story, I think is a great accomplishment for them. And I've heard that there may be a sequel, and there's plenty of space for there to be a sequel, because I loved the film. Rotten Tomatoes and other scores are probably where people feel about the movie. You either like it or you don't like it, but I think it was a really good film. It's well done. I'm glad they made it. It's not stupid. It's not dumb. It's actually a really fun, meaningful story. I think it actually slides right into the canon of all-time Disney movies. It's not as legendary, maybe, but it fits right in there with the rest of them. And I was really happy
with what they did with this film. And again, I can't underscore, certain plot elements, certain characters are brand new right now. And it's a refreshing moment for me, because we need to be pointing toward the future, and that's what Disney's doing with this film, and it's really satisfying. It's a really cool film, so go check out Jungle Cruise. It's in theaters. It's also on Disney Plus if you want to pay that crazy amount of money. But I hope you like it as much as I did. Thanks so much for checking us out this week.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Film Bookcast. You can find more of my work on film-book.com. Just search for Chris Banks or Film Bookcast. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm at C Banksy. That's S-E-E Banksy. And I'm on Instagram, at The Chris Banks. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or another podcast service, please consider rating and reviewing this episode. If you're listening to this podcast on our YouTube channel, Film Book Podcast, please like our video, subscribe to our channel, and leave us a comment in the comments section. It really helps other people discover our podcast. Please also consider becoming one of our patrons on Patreon at patreon.com/filmbook. Your support helps us create more engaging content. You'll find our Patreon link below in the description. If you want to tweet about this podcast, please do. Use the hashtag FilmBookCast. Tune in next week for the next episode of the FilmBookCast. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you then.